wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give.
That's right.
Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is.
Oh, man. You have to like my friends. It's necessary. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And if you just woke up and thought, what is it, 1996? No, it's not. It's not. It's the Spice Girls. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio. And we're here till 5. And we got all of our regular Friday features coming up. Fly Jams Friday. Our finalist for You Big Dummy will be crowned this morning. And next week, the Dummy of the Year will be announced. So we've got You Big Dummy coming up. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, all coming up. It's Friday morning. And the reason why we're talking about this is because 20 years ago, on January 23rd, 1998, Columbia Pictures unleashed Spice World on the American audiences. And they, you know, Spice Girls took off in 1996. They sold more than 31 million copies of their album Spice Up Your Life. And then they made that movie, and it came out a couple of years later. Esmeralda, were you a Spice Girls fan?
I wasn't a rabid fan, but yeah. I was into them.
So you weren't like Emma Stone?
No. No, not at all.
That's one of my favorite Graham Norton clips ever. If you want to find this online, it's available on YouTube. You should do this. This is Emma Stone, Andrew Garfield, and Jamie Foxx. We're on the couch on Graham Norton's show. They were promoting that awful sequel to Spider-Man that they were in. And Graham Norton brings up the fact that Emma Stone was obsessed with the Spice Girls. And Emma Stone said that she got a video message from Mel B, she started crying. It was just a video message on an iPad that somebody showed her, and she was doing publicity for the movie, and she started crying. And I guess Mel C Skyped and talked to her, on the press tour for the movie. And then Graham Norton is like, well, have you ever met a Spice Girl in real life? And she's like, no, not in the flesh. And so he gets her to believe that not only are one, but two Spice Girls were there, and they were going to meet her. And you should see the look on Emma Stone's face. You've seen the clip, right, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
You should see the look on Emma Stone's face. She's like, she's about to cry. She's already got big, beautiful eyes, but they were wider than they've ever been. And she had her mouth is covered up. And Andrew Garfield, because they were dating at the time, and Andrew Garfield was losing his mind. And then, you know, they do a drum roll, and Emma Stone is like losing it. And so they do a drum roll, and then Graham Norton goes, well, they're not here. And it's really a great moment. But she was like obsessed. Then now you liked them. You weren't obsessed. You weren't nuts. Did you have a favorite Spice Girl?
I would say Ginger Spice.
Ginger Spice. Ginger Spice would be Jerry Halliwell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was it about Ginger Spice that you liked?
I don't know. I liked her style out of all the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, Emma Stone's favorite is Emma Bunton, Baby Spice. That was her favorite. My favorite is Scary Spice, without question. She's definitely my favorite Spice Girl. So, now, did you see Spice World, Esmeralda?
I haven't, no.
It's actually, you know, it's not bad. I actually thought it was pretty entertaining. The plot revolved around them trying to perform the biggest show yet at London's Royal Albert Hall while a tabloid newspaper reporter spies on them and their best friend goes into labor and Ginger Spice kisses an alien. That all happens in the movie. Director Bob Spears recruited several British luminaries to cameo. Roger Moore, Bob Hoskins, Elvis Costello is in Spice World, for those people who've forgotten about that. Elton John, Jennifer Saunders, they all appeared in the movie. The Spice Girls were so popular that Prince Charles' sons, Prince William and Harry, attended the Spice World premiere. Do you think the Spice Girls are going to be invited to Harry's wedding?
I don't know about that one.
Why not? He went to the premiere of Spice World. The movie was budgeted at $25 million. It grossed up $100 million worldwide, despite Roger Ebert giving it a half-star rating and writing that the girls were, quote, so detached that they can't even successfully lip-sync their own songs. Spice World was nominated for 7 Razzies. It won 1, Worst Actress, an honor that was shared by all 5 girls. In 2007 UK poll, it was voted the worst film ever made. So here are some fun facts about the movie, Esmeralda, that you have not seen. It took only a year from the idea to the finished film. Now, see, that doesn't surprise me. they didn't really work a very, very long time on the story and screenplay. That's pretty evident if you see the movie. Barnaby Thompson, one of the film's producers, started a production company with Annie Lennox's then-husband, Yuri Fruchtmann. Lennox and the girl shared the same manager, Simon Fuller. The three had lunch along with Fuller's brother, Kim, and they decided that they'd make a movie. That lunch was on November 1st, 1996, and we delivered the film exactly a year later on November 1st, 1997. So from one meeting, it was done in November of 97 and then released in January of 98. The girls stopped traffic in France in May of 1997. The girls had 4 number one singles in the UK and were one of the most popular music groups in the world. To create anticipation for Spice World, the producers took the women to the Cannes Film Festival, even though the film hadn't been shot yet. We put out a photo call notice, said Dennis Davidson, who was a publicist. The traffic on the Croisette came to a standstill. There was a screaming crowd, people hanging out of the windows. It was totally insane. An estimated 5 to 10,000 people showed up to see the pop stars. And then the film was finally shot in London between June and August of 97. That's a pretty good idea. Let's advertise the movie and it's not even made yet. Jeez. They were big here, but in the UK it must have been insane, right?
Probably. They really do enjoy their girl bands, boy bands.
Yeah.
Even still.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But now it's Korea that has the crazy boy band thing happening right now, right?
Well, they've always had that.
But I mean, it's like these dudes, what are they called? MST, I think they're called. They're people go nuts over these guys.
Yeah. There's like 10 plus bands, though, that are just like that.
Yeah.
Guys and girls.
Wow. All right.
And it's not just Korea, it's Japan.
So in Asia, that's like the boy bands in Asia are massive.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Richard E. Grant's daughter forced him to do the movie. That's right. Richard E. Grant is in it. I guess I forgot. Richard E. Grant is in it. One of the best. I mean, really one of the greatest. By the way, if you've never seen the movie, are you familiar with Richard E. Grant, Esmeralda?
Not the name, no.
You'd know him if you saw him. He's a British actor. He's an incredible actor. If you've never seen the movie, I can't recommend this highly enough. If you've never seen the work of Richard E. Grant, you have. Trust me, you have.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
You know, he's in a million movies. I can't think of any right now, but he's in Spice World. But he made this movie in the early 80s called With Nail and I, in which he played an actor who has a pretty interesting relationship with his friend. And it is so good. He is so good in that movie, in With Nail and I. It's truly an amazing performance and a really underappreciated movie and a performance. It's a cult movie, and a lot of actors love it. It's if people, you know, have gone into to study acting or acting, because the movie is about kind of that. And I mean, it truly is a special performance. He'll always, you know, in my book, he'll always be known for With Nail and I. But Richard E. Grant's 9-year-old daughter was a fan of the Spice Girls. When they offered him the part of Spice Girls manager Clifford, she told him he had to do it. Despite his concerns about my quote-unquote acting credibility, Grant told Vulture, she'd say, no, no, you have to, because I want to meet them. So I did, and she was thrilled. I had school playground credibility for about 2 semesters. well, that's a big deal, you know? 9-year-old British girl, and he gets to meet the Spice Girls. That's a very exciting thing. I just love that. That was the reason. What was the story? It was Richard Harris's granddaughter. Richard Harris's granddaughter said that she would never speak to him again if he didn't play Dumbledore in the Harry Potter movie. It was before he passed away, because Michael Gambon took over after Richard Harris passed. Michael Gambon took over to play Dumbledore, but Richard Harris would go on the talk show circuit and say, I don't even know what this is. I don't know Harry Potter. I don't know any of this. All I know is that my granddaughter said if I didn't do the movie, she would never speak to me again. So that was, so these people, Esmeralda, these people holding their actor fathers and grandfathers hostage. Like, I'm never going to speak to you again if you don't play Professor Dumbledore. Yeah, I'm trying to remember, what was the movie that Sean Connery turned down? A movie, like a fantasy movie, and it made a ton of money and it became like a huge hit. So then he said yes to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, so which is an awful movie, which is a truly awful movie. And he thought, well, you know, these kind of fantasy movies and these comic, but maybe it was a comic book movie. I think it was a comic book movie. If anybody can remember what movie Sean Connery turned down, and his family was mad at him, and then it turned out to be a big hit, and I can't remember who played the role or what movie it was, but he turned down like a graphic novel, comic book, fantasy movie because he thought it was beneath him, and then saw it take off critically and financially, and then the first comic book movie that's offered to him again, he takes, and it's The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which has gone down in history as one of the worst comic book movies ever made. But it was a dumb decision on Sean Connery's part. But anyway. Okay, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we've got more facts about Spice World. If you can believe it, just 3 days ago, it celebrated its 20th anniversary. So there you go. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with more after this. All that I want from you is a promise you. We'll be there. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, it's the 90s all over again, and we're talking about Spice World. It's 20th anniversary. We've got some incredible facts about Spice World, some fun behind-the-scenes stuff. If you're a Spice Girl fan, do you have a favorite Spice Girl? Dan, do you have a favorite Spice Girl?
When I was a younger man, it was Ginger, and then it's probably Scary now, though.
Scary's my favorite. Always been my favorite. All right. So, we're back. And by the way, the movie I was trying to think of, that Sean Connery turned down, and it was the biggest possible thing that you could turn down. He turned down Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. They offered him $6 million. So he turned down Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. And we all know what happened to Lord of the Rings and how Ian McKellen took that role and made it amazing. So Sean Connery's like, well, I made a big mistake, so he did League of Extraordinary Gentlemen right after that. We all know how that turned out. Dan, have you seen League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
I have seen bits and pieces.
It's so bad. But that was what he did. He turned down Gandalf. What's the matter with you, man? Oh, man. $6 million to play Gandalf, and he turns it down.
And didn't he, like, unofficially retire from acting after that movie? Like,
after League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? Yeah, pretty much. I think he definitely slowed down, and it didn't appear in a lot of stuff. But, yeah, boy, oh, boy, that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, what a terrible movie. The guy who directed that movie, by the way, Stephen Norrington. I'm trying to remember what his last movie was. Dan, can you look up Stephen Norrington? Because he directed Blade. He directed the first Blade, and that movie rules. Blade is a great film. So you would think, you know, guy takes great comic book and turns it into a kick-ass movie because Blade is great. You think he'd be perfect for League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? But I don't even know if I don't know if he made a movie after that.
He did not. He has done, he has done special effects in movies after, but not
see,
directing.
See, that's it, man. That movie effectively ended that guy's career. It's too bad because Blade rules. Okay, Shakespeare helped cast Alan Cumming. Alan Cumming was also in Spice World. Alan Cumming played a less than Shakespearean role in the movie as a paparazzi-like guy named Piers Cuthbertson Smith. Ginger Spice was the one who suggested that they cast him. I remember seeing Alan Cumming as Hamlet, she told the Telegraph. We were going through pictures at casting, and I was like, let's pick him. I saw him in Hamlet. I love that. It was brilliant to have that caliber of actors in our funny movie. You can visit the Spice Bus, the 1978 British double-decker bus covered with the Union Jack on the outside and a swing on the inside, made its debut in the movie. After the filming ended, the bus fell into disrepair until the Island Harbor Marina purchased the beauty and restored it to its original state. They put it on permanent display on July of 2014. The only thing the bus is missing is Meatloaf driving it. I forgot Mr. Loaf was in that movie, too. I totally forgot about that. Well, I've only seen it the one time when it came out. Oh, check this out. Now, I don't read ahead on a lot of this stuff. I like to read it, fresh. The next one here, Esmeralda, is the next little fact is, with Nail and I convinced Elvis Costello to make a cameo. That's great.
Wait, so...
The movie that I was talking about.
The other movie.
Yeah.
Because he thought that, because that actor was in it?
Yeah, because Richard E. Grant was going to be in the movie.
He's like, this is going to be amazing if he's in it.
Exactly. If Withnail is in it, I'm seeing it. That's it, man. If the dude from Withnail is in it, movie's going to kick ass. So that's why Elvis Costello is in it. Because you think, why is Elvis Costello in this movie? Well, because he loved Withnail. Here's what he says. Elvis Costello said he loved Richard E. Grant's film Withnail and I so much. He said, quote, I thought if I'd go to IMDb, I'm only a couple of clicks away from Withnail. That's pretty great, man. Costello plays a barman in the movie. He said he found his role to be ironic. He said, I quit drinking a couple of years before, so I think the idea of being a barman was sort of ironic in my mind. I love that. I'm sure when he was shooting the movie, he's like, "Man, this is nothing like Withnail and I. What did I get myself into?" The production. Here's another little fact: the production made sure the girls didn't read the script. Oh, that's good. Kim Fuller wrote the script with additional writing from Jamie Curtis, not Jamie Lee Curtis, Jamie Curtis, which was originally titled Five. He knew the girls might not like the script or even read it. He gathered the ladies at a hotel in London. He said, I went in and said, look, turn your phones off. This is serious. I'm going to read you the story. Phones? In 1997? Well, I guess, yeah, they would have phones, right, in 1997?
Yeah, they had little flip phones.
Sure. They liked the story. Ginger Spice contributed script ideas even when she was in Bali. Look at that, Esmeralda. Ginger Spice, the most creative spice. Oh, man. All right, so we got more facts about Spice World coming up. I just love that it was Withnail and I that convinced Elvis Costello to do it. That's really funny. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And also, if you have a favorite Spice Girl, I would love to know which one. Did they ever have reunite?
I think some of them did.
Yeah.
Because
I don't think Victoria Beckham would ever do that now, right?
No, I think they want to do a tour. And then I actually think that's coming up. And they might all be coming back.
Really? Even Victoria?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I think they would make a lot of money. Don't you think people would show up for that?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, especially in the UK, people would go nuts.
I mean, now that they kind of have their own fame.
Yeah.
At that plus Spice Girls.
Plus the fact that, like, the fans now have their own money. Like, the fans that they're all, like, in their 30s and stuff. So they would, you know what I mean? They'd probably have families and they probably have money and they would spend money on seeing the Spice Girls relive their little, their past. So, all right. 312-981-7200. All the regular Friday features are coming up as well. But we're going to take a break. Yeah. Well, they had a lot of hits. I think I forgot how popular they were, the Spice Girls. Spice World is 20 years old, and I've got some fun facts about it, and so we're reminiscing a little bit. By the way, Esmeralda, we have a bunch of listeners and texters who are letting us know that the Spice Girls reunited for the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony in London.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. I guess I didn't see that. They should tour. You know, get Richard E. Grant to be their manager in real life.
I'm sure he'd love that.
He would absolutely love that. And then, but then all the fans of Withnail and I would have to go to the tour. They would have to see them.
So Elvis Costello's going
to
be there?
Elvis Costello will open. He will open for the Spice Girls. I just find that so funny, man, because, you know, I would love to see a large group of Withnail and I fans showing up at a Spice Girls concert, because that would be very strange, because Withnail and I fans are not Spice Girls fans, I would guess. So, okay, we're back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We've got our big dummy coming up, narrowing it down to our dummy of the year, which we will announce next week. A few more of these facts, and then we'll move on. We said that the girls didn't read the script, although Ginger Spice helped out, but they didn't stick to the script in the Spice World documentary. There's a Spice World documentary? It's probably on the DVD, right? Like the behind-the-scenes thing? Because they didn't make a documentary about the making of the movie. Mel B confessed that she and the girls interpreted the script. We contributed our own little sparkle on top of all of it. There were some times when we'd say the lines wrong that would just make us laugh. Baby Spice added, but those improvisations caused the script supervisor almost quit. The script lady went berserk and nearly resigned when we kept changing everything. There were a lot of flowers, and we consoled her for a while, and everything was fine after that. Wow. The script supervisor almost quit. I'm sure that their improvisation was brilliant. I would imagine the Spice Girls are fantastic improvisers. Put them on the same stage with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and they'll be fine. The girls recorded an album while filming. Their first album was such a massive hit that they needed to record their sophomore album to keep up the momentum. And in order to fit into filming the film, they recorded Spice World. They had a mobile studio on set. They ended up writing some of the album and the movie songs during production. They managed to film during the day and record at night. Virgin Records released the album on November 3rd, 1997. Most of Spice World's songs made it into the movie, which meant that there was an unofficial soundtrack already. And then finally, Mel C loves the movie. Mel, which one is she? She's not Scary Spice. She's the other.
She's the one that could actually sing.
Oh, she's the only one that could
Sporty.
Sporty Spice. Mel C told the Telegraph that the film was difficult for her to watch, but when her daughter and friends wanted to watch it at a birthday party, Mel changed her mind. I sat down with them and I really enjoyed it. I laughed out loud. It brought back so many great memories, and I think enough time has passed to be able to watch myself. You know, in a way, it's brilliant. It's very tongue-in-cheek and very silly. And the thing that I really realized was that there was so much of us in it, and it was very, very real. So there you go. Mel C defending the movie. Now, you know what movie I really enjoy that came out after the Spice World movie? I want to say it came out in 2000 or 2001. I really enjoyed Josie and the Pussycats. I really like that movie. Esmeralda, have you seen Josie and the Pussycats?
I haven't.
It's with Tara Reid, Rachel Lee Cook. I believe she plays Josie, if I'm not mistaken, and Rosario Dawson. And I like that movie. I thought that movie was really funny. I remember when it came out, I gave it a good review. I think at the time, John Williams was doing Saturday mornings because Roy had retired, and he thought I was insane. I actually gave Josie and the Pussycats like a really good review, and he's like, "What's wrong with you?" It's like, it's a funny movie. I liked it. Hey Dan, can you look up who was in that? Can you go to the IMDb page, because I'm trying to remember who else was in that, because it was a pretty good cast. There were a lot of funny people in that movie.
Wasn't Molly Ringwald in there or some?
Was she? I haven't seen it in years. I haven't seen the movie in years. I got it at home on DVD. I should pop it in sometime and watch it. But, yeah, I can't, I just, I'm trying to remember who else was in it.
You are correct on the three main ones.
Yeah.
Gabriel Mann, Alan Cumming.
Alan Cumming is in both of them. He's in Spice World and Josie and the Pussycats.
Parker Posey.
Parker Posey's great in it. Parker Posey is hilarious in Josie and the Pussycats.
Carson Daly played himself.
Right.
What was the story?
I can't remember. What's the plot, Dan? I'm sure they have a little plot. And obviously, it was based on the cartoon.
Loading. A girl group finds themselves in the middle of a conspiracy to deliver subliminal messages through popular music.
That's it. There you go, Esmeralda. There's your plot.
Interesting.
That'd be a good double bill. Maybe I should do that on my film club show, Spice World and Josie and the Pussycats at the Alan Cumming double bill.
They'd love it.
How many people would eat that up?
Richard E. Grant isn't in this?
No. No, Withnail and I. No, it's not. That's what I should show. I should show Spice World and then Withnail and I. Have all the Spice Girls fans get there and I'll show Withnail and I first. And then they'll be like, what the hell am I watching? What is this? All right. Well, there it is. Hey, speaking of my film club, let me quickly tell you about my next one. It's Tuesday, February 6th, and it's one of the greatest movies ever made. From 1940, the movie is 78 years old, if you can believe that. And it's still a great, great movie and holds up beautifully. It's The Philadelphia Story on the big screen. You don't get a chance to see this on the big screen, so you should get your tickets now. Tuesday, February 6th, it starts at 8. Come to dinner at 7 at Bogart's on the second floor. We're at the AMC Rosemont 18, which is formerly the Movie Co. Theater. Free parking, free popcorn, $14 to get in. You can pick your seats out. They'll be waiting for you on Tuesday, February 6th. This is really one of the greatest movies ever made, and it's going to be, I've never seen it on the big screen, and I'm beside myself and excited about it because three of the greatest movie stars in the history of the medium are in this movie. And it's, Katharine Hepburn, Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant, all in one movie, a fantastic romantic comedy directed by George Cukor. It is a true American Hollywood classic, and we're going to see it on the big screen. So get your tickets now at amctheaters.com. amctheaters.com. Pick out your seats, and we'll see you on Tuesday, February 6th. So pick out your tickets now, and we'll see you then. It's going to be great. The Philadelphia Story, a classic on the big screen.